Welcome to the Children's Ministry Today podcast with Ricardo Miller. New podcasts are available every week and are available for download. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. For more information, visit ricardomiller.com.
Hi, friends. You are listening to Children's Ministry Today. I'm your host, Ricardo Miller. We're excited about today's topic because we're going to be talking about connecting with the next generation. Yep, that's right. Connecting with the next generation. I would like to know where you are tuning in and listening to this show from. If you can let us know, if you're in the Bahamas, you know, all my Bahamian people, please let me know that you're listening to Children's Ministry Today. And of course, all of you in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, you want to tune in. This is the show where we talked about practical tips about reaching and connecting with children, parents, children's ministry workers. And today we're actually focusing on the generation, talking about how do we minister to this next generation? How do we connect at our local churches as pastors, as children's ministry leaders, youth ministers? How do we connect with the next generation? Tell a friend. Share the link and let them know that you are listening to Children's Ministry Today on Fishbowl Radio Network. I want to know where you're listening from. So if you're on Twitter or Facebook, email us, as a matter of fact. You can do that at info@ricardomiller.com and let us know you are listening. Today, I have a guest in studio with me. He's a dear friend, a brother. Man, we've been connected for a while, and I thank God for his life, for his family, and for what God is just doing in his ministry. He is none other than Pastor Ontario Green. Pastor Ontario Green, welcome to Children's Ministry Today.
I'm so happy to be here and honored to be asked to be on the show. And man, this is an exciting opportunity to be able to talk about something that I believe is very important.
Man, you're a generation pastor. You've been in ministry for a while doing some incredible things. Tell us, who is Ontario Green?
First of all, I am a husband of 11 years. My wife and I just celebrated 11 years.
Come on, somebody. Congratulations to that.
Thank you. Father of three children.
Yes.
And I'm the generations pastor, which means I pastor everything 18 to 30 something, and at Sheffield Family Life Center in Kansas City, Missouri. Any Kansas City people out there, make sure you guys make some noise on the social networks.
Yes.
So we're excited to be here. God's doing some great things. We're here this week to do some ministry in Texas.
Yes.
And excited to be able to stop in and be able to sit and talk about the next generation with you.
Man, listen, you're going to be at our church. For those of you in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, join us over at 8510 Military Parkway at the Pathway of Life Church. Pastor Ontario is going to be ministering during the Represent Generation Conference. It kicks off at 7 p.m. tonight. You don't want to miss it. Come out and let us know you are listening to the show. If you are in the Metroplex, I'm telling you, you want to hear him in person. You want to be able to experience the ministry God is doing and how God is using him to touch the lives of thousands of people all across America. And tonight, I'm challenging you, step out in faith and drive over to DFW's major church, the church that's doing it in a big way, Pathway of Life, where we're going to be having our Represent Generation Conference. Pastor Ontario, tell us what's been going on at your church and how God has been using maybe some of your events, and how have you been connecting with regards to the community in regards to the next generation.
Well, the name of our young adult ministry is Main Event Young Adult Ministry in Kansas City, Missouri. One of the things that we do, I think, pretty well is being outside of the box.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we try and reach the generation where they are. So, for instance, we reserved an event at the College Basketball Experience. Is also the College Basketball Hall of Fame in downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh. Tell us about that. How did that go?
Oh, it was phenomenal. We pushed it on the local radio stations. We did everything we could to promote it to the general public, because it's our desire not to just connect with church people, but we really want to connect with the lost. There's 80% of our generation that are young adults that don't attend church now. So wow. We want to go where they are. So that's why we did this event there in downtown connected to the Sprint Center. And it was a phenomenal event. It was a wonderful turnout. We had a three-point contest, a slam dunk contest, and a national anthem contest that I'm telling you, you got to go to YouTube and check the clip out. It was a surprising winner, and, man, it was a phenomenal turnout. It was a great event and great ministry opportunity to be able to minister to people who we wouldn't obviously get a chance to in our own church.
Listen, you know, I've been in ministry for a while, and I know a lot of our listeners have been in ministry for a while as well, and maybe some of you that are out there have just entered the mainstream of being involved in ministry and church work. And so, like you just said, there's a huge number of people that are disconnected from the church. There are a huge number of people that are not involved in ministry like in time past. And so I want to ask you this question. Why do we need to focus on the next generation? In your opinion, why do we need to focus on the next generation?
Well, first, I want to start by saying I'm a young adult pastor now, but I was a youth and young adult pastor before this time. And I do have kids currently, too. So my whole house encompasses all generations. Amen. So with that being said, I believe that the next generation is the greatest untapped resource that is in the earth today.
Wow.
And the fact that everything inside of them is still just raw potential waiting to be undug inside of them.
Yes.
So I believe if we focus our attention on those resources that's inside of them, those treasures that are hidden in the earthen vessels that live inside of them, and we begin to tap those now and pull on them now, it's amazing what they could be when they grow older instead of waiting till they're 20 or they're 30 or 40 years old to tap into some of those God-given resources on the inside.
Right. So it's very important to tap in. That's basically where it's at. We need to reach them because they have potential.
They have
something to offer.
Right now.
So we can't wait and say, well, you know what? Well, we, you know, y'all just trying to change things too fast.
No. As a matter of fact, we're not changing them fast enough.
Oh, explain that. Talk to me about that.
Well, this is the thing. You know, I was watching my 2-year-old. I have a 2-year-old, and he's very progressive in everything that he's learning now. And he's learning things a lot faster than the last generation learned them.
Right.
And he's learning, he's comprehending, he's doing things that most 2-year-olds shouldn't be able to do.
Right.
But at this age, most 2-year-olds are doing it.
Mm.
The problem that I find with some of us can be is that we can get behind on times when it comes to trying to reach the next generation. And we can get caught up on something that used to work back then.
Come on.
That was good back then, the good old days.
Yes.
And we can forget the power of being relevant, the power of being current, and the power of reaching right now.
Ooh, yes. I totally agree. As a children's minister, I know the importance of connecting with the generation in the time. And we're dealing with kids who, unfortunately, who finds a lot of times when they enter church buildings, teenagers alike, they're finding that there's a massive disconnection with reality in regards to the times we're living in. Not fully in sync with what's happening in the time. So for those of you that are listening, wherever you're listening, we want to encourage you to connect with this movement that God is doing, and that is reach this generation now. Allow them to be involved in ministry now. Understand that they need a move of God now. Time out for the idea that one day God's going to use you. No, God wants to use our boys and girls, our teenagers, our young adults now. I want you to listen to this. We'll be right back. I have in studio with me Pastor Ontario Green. We're talking about connecting with the next generation. If you are listening to this show, let us know where you're listening from. Also, call someone, text someone, and tell them, listen to Children's Ministry Today. We're talking about connecting with the next generation. I'll be right back.
You are listening to a commercial-free podcast with Ricardo Miller.
Welcome back to Children's Ministry Today. We are talking about connecting with the next generation. I want to thank you guys for listening to our radio program every week. Last week, we had a great show. For the past few months, since we've been on air, people have been calling in, texting us, Facebooking us, letting us know that they've been tuning in to our show. And we appreciate you guys letting us know that you're listening. Because you know what? This program is all about you. It's all about the people, all about those individuals who are passionate about reaching the next generation. Today I have in studio with me Pastor Ontario Green. It was just, an exciting session just now. We're talking about, you know, connecting with the next generation. And I asked Pastor Green, why do we need to focus on the next generation? But I want to go a little bit further, Pastor, and ask you another question. How have things changed in ministering to the next generation versus 25 years ago? How have things changed?
Well, I'll say, number one, the generation we live in now no longer wants to be led from the pulpit. Mm. They want to be led from the pews.
Wow. Wow.
So the generation that I was a part of when I first got saved, is you could hear a general from the pulpit tell you what to do from the pulpit, and they could leave after giving you a 30-40 minute lecture, and you would have what you needed to go on for the rest of the week until you got your next fill up. This generation really doesn't want to hear what you have to say from the pulpit until you come to them in the pews and get to know who they are and build relationship with them.
Wow. So this is a this is a generation that wants to be connected. They're not, they don't want to be involved with something that's disconnected. That's something they can't feel.
It's the weirdest thing about our generation now, in my opinion, is the fact that everything has gone personal.
Oh, wow.
You have a social media where you can feel as though you're connected with people because you can personally find out what they do every day. You have reality TV where you can see people and you personally feel involved with their lives.
Right.
So now church has to switch gears.
Wow.
And we have to switch into a more personal approach to ministry versus leading them from a distance. We have to get next to them, allow them to see our scars so that they can see that they can relate to the things
now,
we actually do
have scars.
That's right. We do. We do have scars. Right, you know, we clothe them real good and we cover them up, but they're still there. And I think the next generation, they need to see those scars so that they can feel encouraged to know that, hey, I can overcome some stuff too.
Listen, when we're talking about connecting with the next generation, and like Pastor Green just mentioned, it's important that we change the model of how we're ministering to this generation versus what we've done in previous years past. There was a time when leading from the platform or the pulpit was excellent, was great, but this generation wants to feel you. They want to be connected to you. They want to know that you're real. They want to be able to follow you on Facebook. They want to be able to hear you've had a great time on vacation. They want to be able to see you at the beach or at a picnic talking about you eating a cheese dog, honey dog, or whatever that
is. Right.
People want to know that you're real and that you're not up there on the platform in a suit and then, oh my goodness, he's perfect, she's perfect. And the reality of it is they're men God is using, the man woman God is using. So we have to really step out of the model of the past and move into a new model.
Francis of Assisi said it the best. He said, preach the gospel all the time, and when necessary, use words.
Come on, say that again.
So we live in a new generation now that wants to see us use more than just words to show them the gospel.
Yes.
So that's why the power of social media has become so relevant and reaching the next generation. That was going to be my next thing is after relationship building, the next thing that we need to do is take advantage of the social networks that we have to reach the next generation, because there's more. They say that people now, they're on Facebook more than they'll read their Facebooks more than they'll read their emails.
Wow.
They'll check Twitter more than they check their emails.
So not to mention what they're doing when it comes to reading their Bibles.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
So people are reading you, man. They're reading you on Facebook. They're seeing what you're doing, and you got to wonder what's speaking.
That's right. And I want to say something to the pastor that feels that it may not be necessary to switch models as far as being able to take advantage of the social networks and things of that nature. I think continuing to have that mindset is like bringing a Nerf gun to a gunfight.
Ooh, come on. You got to explain that. Break that down to our listeners today. I'm loving this. This is Pastor Ontario Green, y'all. He's in the studio. Come on. Talk to us.
Well, what happens is if we know that they're on the social networks, we know that they're on Facebook, we know that they're on Twitter, why go after a teenager or a young adult in your service for doing it or tell them to ignore it or leave it alone?
Right.
Why not take advantage of that resource?
Right.
And listen, they have thousands of friends that they connect to.
Right.
So if you connect to them and the message of the cross is getting to them, and more than likely they're going to share their feelings and their emotions on their social networks.
Right. Right.
So it takes the gospel beyond our four walls that we have at our churches, it takes it into mainstream media where it can be retweeted, reposted, and people can see it all around the world.
Wow, I love that.
I had someone in Australia say something to me about a week ago, tripped me out, that they were even paying attention.
Wow.
And the fact that the gospel, something that was said that was relevant to them, they retweeted. So now all their friends in Australia are able to hear the same gospel message.
Yes.
And now we're on a bigger platform. So Nerf gun is the four walls of the church.
Wow.
The M16 that we need. need to be using
yes,
is the rest of the world that's on social networks.
Wow, I love that idea. I love that model of suggestion. Well, last year, I got the privilege of doing a youth retreat in Atlanta, and I'm getting the opportunity to go back to that same group this weekend. And I remember I was looking at these teenagers. Everybody had cell phones. Everybody had either cell phones or an iPad. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this room is filled with technology. And, you know, I'm not necessarily a youth guy. I'm more of a children's guy. And so here it is. I'm thinking, how in the world do I try to make sure I allow these teenagers to know that I'm in sync with what's up?
Yes, right? Sir.
So I told them, I said, hey, listen, in my message, I got a couple points I want to share with you. I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me. Can y'all help me out? And they're like, man, you came last year to our children's retreat. Why in the world they bring a youth guy, children's guy, to the youth retreat? And so I said, you know what I want you to do for me? I want you to pull out your cell phones. Well, I saw smiles then because they had a rule at the door that says no
Uh-oh.
Cell phones.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, turn off those iPads because we know you may be playing games
yeah.
on the iPad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, take out your cell phones. Take out your iPads. And I say, you know what I want you to do? I want you to instant message some friends on your iPad, or I want you to text my points.
Yeah.
So everybody get them out right now and say, Pastor Ricardo's about to speak on the topic.
Yeah.
And I want you to text that to as many people as you can right now.
Let me tell you, I think that's amazing uh-huh. and it's powerful because mm-hmm. I think more and more people are moving toward the model of uh-huh. using uh-huh. the 2x4 is what I call it. The phone device.
I love it.
The 2x4.
Listen to what they did. You got to get this. Watch what they did. These kids, interestingly, I told them, I said, each point, you're going to send out the points to as many friends. So now, you know, Pastor Ontario, they're looking at me and they got their fingers rolling.
Yeah.
They're just texting away. Send out point number one. You know what? God wants to use you in an amazing way. Oh, my goodness. They sent it out. And I said, okay, how many people you sent it out to? One guy was like, I sent it like 30 people. You know, and we were going through their phones at the end when we were playing games, and they were stocking the numbers. And, man, we influenced almost 1,000 people.
Wow.
In a 30-minute message.
Come on. That's phenomenal.
I mean, it was only about 80 teenagers in there. But when we decided to use technology, and who knows who retweeted, who shared the point with
yeah.
somebody else.
Yeah.
So what you're saying in regards to connecting with this generation, we have to be comfortable with understanding things are not the way they used to be.
Yes.
Things have changed.
That's right. Things have changed because now what we used to have to spend a lot of money on to reach people, mm-hmm. you can do for free.
Mm.
So actually, there's no excuse not right. to use these resources because they're easier to use
right.
than the last generation when we would have to spend money to order books or
right,
whatever
right.
it is that we needed. And for an instance, I want to give an example on how to use these the social networks in a way that's relevant, that's current, that people can use in their church to take what they do to the next level. In our young adult ministry, we have someone who oversees
uh-huh.
our Facebook, our Instagram,
right.
and our Twitter account.
Right.
The person who oversees our Instagram account actually sends out pictures
uh-huh.
with the actual points written on the pictures.
I love that.
So that the rest of the world can keep up with what's going on
yes.
in our services real time.
Real time.
Real time.
Wow.
And then other people take it and retweet uh-huh. and things of that nature. So it's the power of social network.
Yes,
it doesn't
yes,
cost
yes.
us a dime, but time and learning how to use it.
Man, listen, this is so amazing. I want you to talk to the pastor who feels as though, man, I don't know if that stuff is of God. You know, all of this new technology stuff, I just believe in the good old written word in paper print mm-hmm. model. And I'm telling you, bless God, they better learn how to listen to me preach for an hour with no illustrations, with no stories, with no technology involved. You just best accept the fact if grandmama did it, mama did it, I'm doing it now, and it worked for them, it's going to work for me.
I heard a wise preacher say this about a year ago. He said, if this next generation of preachers if they don't adjust to learning in the dark, then they're going to be left behind.
Woo.
And what I mean by that is we have a screen device-led mm-hmm. generation.
Right.
So if we don't get on the boat of relevance
uh-huh.
and understand how to reach them, because there are Bible apps on the phone
right,
too.
Right,
you know
right,
that
right, exactly.
there's Bible apps that we can uh-huh. pull up
Come on.
With the same print that we can read on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you better learn how to get up before people and say, okay, turn your iPads on or turn your iPhones on
yes.
and open to the book of whatever.
Come on.
You know, it works too.
Right.
And let me tell you what that does is that screams uh-huh. I'm relevant. I'm current. I'm trying my best to connect with you. I'm not focused on how God has done it in the past and only stuck to that way. I want to try to build a bridge so that I can bring the next generation across on.
Say that again. Say that again to children's, youth, preteen, young adult pastors who are listening now. Because I have some children pastor friends.
Yeah.
They have not crossed over when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
Some young adult pastors that have not come up to technology. Some youth pastors, some preteen pastors. I'm talking about pastors who are definitely, they ought to be in sync with this.
Yeah.
But they haven't.
Well, I think that you're going to miss out on a generation of young people that you would have a great opportunity to influence by not coming into this. And if you don't, this is the thing. Social media and all these different devices and things that we can get into are only growing larger and larger every day. More people are using them. People are using them every day of the week.
Right.
And if we don't, as ministers, decide to be relevant.
Right.
See, the sons of Issachar in the Bible were able to discern the times and do what was needed to be done so that the people could do and they could go where they needed to go. And we almost need to become modern day sons of Issachar and ministry where we can see what needs to be done do what needs to be done. Yeah. There is a safe way to use Facebook.
Yes,
there is a safe way to use Twitter. A safe way to use Instagram.
Amen. Right.
There's ways that we can use these things and they're not of the devil. And I once read in the Bible where it said that, you know, that we can take things that are bad and we can use them for good.
Right.
And then Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good to them who love God and who called according to his purpose. So we need to tap into the resources that are out there so that we can reach this generation. Otherwise, we're going to lose them.
Yes. I remember when I first started in children's ministry, one of my mentors, he saw what I was doing and he pulled me aside and he says, you know, I love this passion you have for reaching the next generation. I love this passion you have for reaching children. The only problem, I noticed something. And he says, everything you're doing is of the past. In other words, all of the model that I was using to make my presentation was final board, and then there was the way I made my presentation was that of only what I have seen before.
Come on.
And so he said to me, he said, listen, I want to encourage you to do this. Don't ever change the message.
That's
but
good.
Be very comfortable in changing the methods.
He said,
be very comfortable. He said, don't allow anybody to make you feel bad because you are establishing new methods to connect with a current, relevant, generation who is in the now.
I love it.
And in the now. And so what you're saying there is, for those of you that are listening, get in sync with this generation. Understand that times are not going backward. It's moving forward.
That's right. You
either get on board or get left. So the reality of it is God wants to reach this generation. He wants to reach our sons and daughters. He wants to see teenagers on fire for him, young adults passionately pursuing their purpose and living their life based on his design, not from crisis to crisis, but by God's design for them to live empowered lives. But the way we're going to do that is for us not to lie to ourselves believing that the methods of the past is working. It's not. Times have changed. Things are constantly changing. And that's one of the reasons why we as leaders, individuals serving in ministry, you may just be teaching a class. You may just be helping in a particular department. The question I want to ask you is this. How are you doing it in a way that connects with this generation now? We are talking about connecting with the next generation. In studio with me is Pastor Antonio Green. Let me ask you another question, Pastor, before we go to break. I want to ask you this. What are three signs that a church is going the wrong way in connecting with this generation? Oh, my goodness.
First of all, there is no established ministry for the youth, the young adult, the middle schoolers. I hang my head when I hear a pastor tell me he values the next generation, but yet there is no outlet for the next generation in their church.
I want to explode in the studio right now. I hope a pastor who's listening there right now, you hear this man, you heard what he just said. Come on, talk to him.
And can I say this? Please, just go ahead and talk to whoever you need to talk to get the resources so that you can staff that area.
Yes.
Volunteers are amazing, but you volunteers are exactly what they are. They're volunteers. Mm. So sometimes for volunteers, they come and go. There's not stability. There's not long-term commitment. Yep. You want to have someone in a position that says to those kids or to those young adults, we are valued because we found someone to lead you.
Wow.
And we're willing to bring them on and call them your leader.
So if you have to pay somebody, pay somebody.
If you have to pay somebody, please pay them. Yes, amen. Yes, otherwise, somebody else will pay them.
Ooh, come on now. Now, the reality of it is there's children who want to come to our church.
Yes.
Teenagers who want to come to our church. Young adults who want to come to our church. But they don't want to come to a church that's disconnected.
That's right. That's right. They don't want to come. Why would I want to come and be a part of something that doesn't value me?
Wow.
Because when there's no leader put in place of the area that I'm involved with, I feel like that you don't value me.
Wow. That's amazing.
And another thing, on top of getting a person there, you have to fund the person. You have to fund the project.
Right.
If there's no resources that you put behind the leader, then you're expecting them to go nowhere.
Wow.
That's like putting them in a boat and not giving them anything to paddle with.
Wow. So you're in a boat but with no paddle. My goodness.
Oh my gosh. You don't want to be in a boat without a paddle because that's you're going nowhere fast.
And let me tell you this. That boat, that's watch this, in regards to the time we're living in, you may be on a boat. That's one of them boat, not a house boat. That's a little rowboat. And the reality of it is the sun's hot, brother.
Yes, that's right.
The sun's hot. And you don't have a paddle to row the boat. Oh, my goodness. You could die.
Well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a bunch of people abandon ship.
Wow.
And this is the problem that we have in our generation right now, and the fact that 80% of 18-plus when they graduate high school are leaving the church because there's no rows on the boat.
Wow.
And if we equip the boat with the resources that it needs so that it can take care of the people on the boat, then we can get somewhere and we can start moving in a good direction.
For
so that's two.
Pastors who are listening, you just heard it from Pastor Ontario Green. Please, please, if you say you support children's ministry, youth ministry, preteen ministry, young adults ministry, if you support and believe in these ministries, decide to make the full investment.
That's right. That's right. And number three, I believe, number three is not asking the right questions.
Mm, not asking the right questions.
Because it's one thing to have the resources. Uh-huh. It's another thing to know what to do with the resources.
Yes.
So what am I doing with these resources that's actually going to produce a harvest?
Yes.
See, because I can throw all of my seed on top of the ground and I'll never get a harvest out of it.
Yes.
I've got to find a place where the ground has been dug out and it's a good place to plant the seed so that I can get the optimum harvest out of the resources that I have.
Right.
We can do a lot with a little.
Right.
I'm not saying that every youth ministry or young adult ministry or children's ministry needs $10 million.
Right.
I'm saying they need resources that's going to help them to reach the next generation. And if we find the right target, if we know what we're going after, that's why asking questions is so important.
Yes.
As you ask questions, you understand what it is that you're going to need to resource that ministry.
That is wonderful. Listen, I met with some of my leaders and team members on Saturday. We had a work gathering where we were able to do some preparation for our Vacation Bible School that kicks off tonight. Once again, if you're listening, I didn't get to share this earlier, but our Vacation Bible School starts tonight at Pathway of Life Church. You want to bring your kids for the Vacation Bible School along with Represent Generation Conference that kicks off tonight as well. It actually started all yesterday, but tonight at 7 o'clock, Represent Generation Conference is happening at Pathway of Life Church. And then our annual Vacation Bible School goes on starting at 6:30 at Pathway of Life Church. But while we were meeting, I remember talking to some of the team members and just sort of highlighting the fact that, hey, we have a great facility. Our pastor believes in children's ministry, youth ministry, young adults. He believes in the next generation. So I said, we have a great facility. We have a great team. I says, my goodness, we have supplies. The thing that I'm asking us to do during this Vacation Bible School and this next season is to maximize the use of what we have.
That's good.
We want to do well with what we have. Whatever manpower we have, we want to be known for maximizing the potential of the manpower.
That's
the
good.
Facility. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the resources. Good. And so for those of you that are out there, wherever you are at, whatever level you're at, I want to challenge you to do something. Maximize what you've got, what God has given you. And watch this. The thing that happens when you maximize where you are, God opens the door. He sets you up so more can come.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
So Pastor Ontario, you gave us three amazing points. We're talking about what some churches are doing wrong in regards to connecting with this generation. I want to ask you guys a few more questions who are listening. So I'm going to ask you the questions. You please let us know what your thoughts are. If you are tuning in on social media by any means, please let us know where you're listening from. You are listening to Children's Ministry Today. My guest in studio is Pastor Ontario Green. I want you to listen to this, and I'll be right back. I'm loving this show today. It's awesome.
You are listening to a commercial-free podcast with Ricardo Miller.
We are back in the studio, and you are listening to Children's Ministry Today. My friend and brother has joined me. We're talking on this subject matter, connecting with the next generation. That is none other than Pastor Ontario Green. Listen, if you're hearing us anywhere in the country, wherever you are, in the office, at church, if you are at home, if you're in the car, wherever you are, let us know you are listening in. Connect with us on Twitter, on Facebook. We are talking about what do we need to be doing to connect with this next generation. God is doing something among our young people. Children of all ages are accepting Christ in huge numbers. Teenagers are on fire for God. Like I said earlier, if you don't know that Pastor Ontario will be speaking right here in the city of Dallas tonight at the Pathway of Life Church, one of the best church on the planet. He's going to be with us. He's going to be ministering during our Represent Generation Conference. Bishop Ridge is hosting our Represent Generation Conference. Bishop is doing amazing work, and I'm telling you, last night was incredible. I heard Bishop killed it, bro.
Yes, Bishop did a phenomenal job, and man, it was an amazing service from beginning to end, and just happy to see what God is doing there at the church. And man, it makes me feel good on the inside, because you know that's where I got my start in ministry. So
amen. You did a lot of great work with our young people, and then to see them have much joy and excitement, and to hear Pastor Ontario is going to be in the house ministering the word during this year's conference. So I salute Bishop Ridge and Sandra for hosting this year's conference. Last night kicked off an amazing night. It's going to be four nights.
Yeah.
So last night was the first night Bishop Ridge opened it up, and then it's going to be ending on Wednesday night. So listen, all week you can come and join us at Pathway of Life Church. But tonight at 7 p.m., this is when Pastor Ontario is going to be ministering at Pathway of Life Church. If you're anywhere in the DFW area and you're hearing my voice right now, I'm telling you, we can save a seat for you if you would simply let us know you're coming. You're going to be there. Today we're talking about connecting with the next generation. I want to challenge you as a pastor, church leader, make sure you're doing what is necessary, putting whatever in place to make sure that you are connecting with this generation. When a boy or girl shows up on our campus, when a teenager shows up, a young adult shows up, and they are there wanting to know more about God, wanting to enter his presence, it's important for us to do our part. Listen, they show up, we should be prepared to give them the best ministry possible. That means we need to be prayed up. That means we need to be relevant. That means we need to have a good, practical, life applicable word that they can use into their everyday lives. We need to be relevant. We need to be on point. And so I'm challenging those of you that are listening, step up your game and make sure that you are connecting with the next generation at your church. That leads me into this next question, Pastor Ontario. This fourth question I have for you. What are three signs? What are some signs? What are some signs a church is going the right way in connecting with this generation?
The first thing is, I like to call it the echo effect.
Uh-huh.
The echo effect is when the senior pastor or the senior leader stands before the people in the pulpit and speaks well of the youth ministry, or speaks about the youth ministry,
right,
or says something about the youth ministry. Because what I've seen is where there's a pastor's echo, the people will go.
Wow. Come on. That's good stuff. Say that again.
Where the senior pastor, there's an echo about what's going on the campus.
Yes.
The people will go.
Right. That's good.
So I think to see a senior pastor get behind a ministry just with his mouth, just dropping a nugget before he goes into his message, saying something about an event that's coming up with the youth or young adult ministry is a big deal, because it says a few things. It gives value to what the youth and young adult ministry is doing, because sometimes the youth ministry or the young adult ministry can become an island to itself.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
But to see an incorporation by the senior leadership to bring that in and say something about the ministry brings them in, and it makes them feel apart.
Right, right. So let me say this. For those of you that are listening, senior pastors, church leaders, it's important for people to hear you support the next generation by saying something about what you're seeing that's happening, what you're hearing that's happening. It's important to maybe go by and really get a first-hand look. And a sense, you know, the pastors got the spirit of discernment. They That's got right. a sensing of knowing what God's doing. And it's easy to walk in a place and tell this is dead. And then you're able to walk in a place and this is alive.
That's right.
I'm excited about what God's doing in our young people's lives because I walked over there. I was inside one of the services. I'm telling you, I love our senior pastor, Pastor Danny Wagman.
Yeah.
Because like last night, he was in the conference.
Yep, saw him.
He was in the house representing, loving on the young people. And that's senior pastors everywhere. I want to challenge you to do that. Connect with your young people. Don't just put them in a next facility or put them in a service, but make sure you show up on occasions and say, you know what, let me just sit in the back, be a part of their worship experience, and allow them to know I love them. Now you said that's important for children, that's important for you, that's important for young adults.
Yeah.
So that means every now and again, let people know you don't have a department that you don't endorse. If this is a department you endorse, then say something about it.
That's
right.
Celebrate
it. And oh my goodness, there are people in the pews who can discern as well.
Come on.
Come on. They know when you don't have a passion and a heart for something. Come on. And let me tell you something. If you say something with your mouth and don't believe it with your heart, they Come can on. See it in your eyes.
Come on.
They can sense it. Woo! And let me tell you something. They wonder, well, Pastor did say something. Oh, the youth man, somebody said something, but if you ain't feeling it, Ooh, come on. Oftentimes, there won't be no follow-up to it.
That's good.
So, Pastor, that was a great point. Pastors, church leaders, if you're listening today, it's important for you to say something about how you feel in regards to what God's doing with this generation. Great point.
The next thing that I see as a good sign that we're going in the right direction is when we see total incorporation of the youth, the young adults, and the children.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Ricardo Miller does this great. I'm telling you, he will never brag on himself, but I'll tell you, Pastor Ricardo has the amazing ability of drawing everybody from every department to participate in what he's doing and to get them connected, not only to his department, but to get them connected to other departments as well. I think a good, healthy sign that we're moving in the right direction is to see youth and young adults and children connect outside of what we're doing with them, so that we don't become an island or a self-made kingdom to ourselves.
Yes.
Our job as youth pastors, young adult pastors, children's pastors, is to point them to the kingdom of God as a whole.
Amen.
And not just an individual project that we have on the side.
Yes. That's such a wonderful point. You know, for the past few years, and I'm thankful to God that Bishop decided to, you know, run with the same model when it comes to represent youth generation conference going on the same night as our vacation Bible school. Because, you know, our senior pastor believes in ministering to the entire family. Not only did we do that, would represent our generation conference and the vacation Bible school, but we have family first, where everybody comes together. And so we thank God for that. Thank you also for giving a little recognition. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. I'm trying to do my thing.
Pastor Ricardo is the man, and I endorse this message.
Thank you, bro. Love you much. Listen, let me ask you another question, Pastor Ontario. I'm enjoying this show today. We're talking about connecting with the next generation. This question I want to ask you. Do you believe the greatest investment in the kingdom that the church can make today is the one to have a dynamic youth and children's ministry, a dynamic young adults ministry?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because let me give you a story. I went to Disney World. I've been to Disney World quite a few times. We used to live in Florida, and it was one of our favorite things to do as a family is go to Disney.
Yeah.
And one of the things that surprised me the most about Disney as you walk around Disney is from the janitors to the operation managers, you get the same pleasant feel and experience on the campus.
Yes.
You see everything that should be working.
Ooh.
You see, you don't see chipped paint. You don't see broke down benches. You don't see busted trees.
Right.
You don't see things like that. You see perfection and you see upkeep and you see a spirit of excellence on the campus everywhere that you go right. on the Disney properties. And I like to see the kingdom of God as more important than Disney
right.
World.
Right, I agree.
We're giving away something that's much more valuable than a theme park or, yes. or a thrill or a fun ride.
Right.
We're giving away eternal life.
Yes.
So the question is, how are we packaging what we're
right.
giving away?
Yes, yes.
Because the thing that's going to keep us relevant and on the cutting edge is making sure that we continue to present wow factor.
Mm,
when you go to Disney World, you see wow factor.
Factors, yes.
Their light shows and everything
yes.
is wow factor.
Yes.
My question is if MTV and BET and VH1, mm. they work so hard to wow factor our generation,
right.
and with us being a generation who sometimes don't value wow,
right.
we wonder why young adults or youth don't want to connect to our
right,
projects
right, right.
or our events. We have to make sure sometimes that we're keeping up with wow factor.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying we got to have all the bells and whistles that MTV and BET has, but I am saying do all we can to
yes.
make sure that we're doing what we can
yes.
to make it relevant and to make people desire to be there. Because
yes.
let me say, just like you said, the sister in the church is sitting and she can discern.
Yes.
Young people can discern
yes.
when we have a poor effort that we're putting
Ooh.
Towards preparing for our services,
oh.
towards getting things to look right,
yes.
towards fixing that thing in the corner where there's spider webs,
right.
towards doing whatever it takes to make the stage look right.
Come on, right? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. My wife is in the studio, Aisha Vaughn Gretchen Miller, my beautiful wife. She is producing the show today, and she said, thumbs up, brother. You are right on point. You know, she believes in the spirit of excellence. What you're saying then, bro, what you're saying is it's important for us to have excellence at every level.
Listen, it's important to have excellence from the greeters at the doors, the people who greet the people. We need to make sure that they have a smile on their faces
yes.
and that they love God. And hey, make sure that they're friendly before
no
you put them there.
No sour lime greeters.
No sour lime greeters. We
oh,
got to put them in another meeting ministry.
Yeah.
Put them in the media ministry
on,
where they don't have to deal with
prison
people.
Prison ministry, too.
Prison
you know,
ministry. Come
sour
on now.
Face people can hold it down. But you know, excellence at every level allows people to know that the church cares.
That's right. That's right. And when people show up and they don't see a an upkeep or value
yeah.
that the leadership possesses for what is around the property or the church itself,
right.
they don't value it. The people
on.
Will always value what you value.
Ooh, the people will always value what you value. And so it's important for us as we minister to this next generation that we have a balanced perspective on how we're raising the bar. And this, if the truth be told, the excellent comes at different level, because you can be a small church but still running on an excellent level. You can be a medium sized church. No matter where you are, you can decide to be well or do great at where you are. Talk to us about that.
There is no excuse for a lack of excellence, because excellence is not necessarily resources.
Come on.
But it's actually in how you apply what you do have.
Yes,
we talked
yes.
about that earlier.
Yes.
You know, if you got a little bit or a lot, man, you just take what you have
yes.
and you do all you can to make that little bit excellent.
Yes.
And God makes up the difference
yes.
on the other end. You
hey,
see?
Hey, you know, and the interesting thing about this generation, this is one of the things I've come to appreciate. That's one of the reasons why I've asked God to really monitor. I've asked the Holy Spirit to monitor my style of ministry.
Mm.
Because let me tell you something, if you faking it, they can read it.
They sure can.
You know, if you ain't for real, then they can sense it. They can identify it. And with this generation, for them to be able to see at a small level you're doing your best,
yes,
there's value in that.
That's right. If you're waiting on the thousand to come before
yeah.
you, if you're waiting on the thousand and you thinking to yourself, okay, I'll get excellent when I get the thousand,
uh-huh.
but you look past the 10
uh-huh.
that you have right now,
yep.
looking at the thousand,
yes.
you'll never get to 100, you'll never
right.
get to 1,000
That's
because
right.
you're devaluing the
yes.
10 that you have
yes.
and you're not practicing excellence there. What you practice now will be your practice later.
Come on now. What you practice now will be your practice later. And this generation can tell that you are trying to wait, but you're not maximizing now.
That is the worst feeling that you could ever have as a pastor
yeah.
or a leader, I believe, is to feel as though you haven't done your best
uh-huh.
and for people to know that you didn't
Ooh.
Try your best.
My goodness. That's why I'm telling you, for those of you that are listening, if you're a children's minister, if you're a youth minister, young adults minister, preteen, whatever level of ministry you are, it's important for you to decide that I'm going to give my best. Watch this. I'm a strong believer. I coach a few people, and I've been telling them, listen, give your best. Not only give your best, because a lot of times, a lot of people, best is weak.
That's
you
right.
know, I say give your best, but make also a commitment for improvement.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so listen, I did give my best, but watch this. I'm going to evaluate what we've done this week, and I'm going to try next week to improve upon that.
That's right.
Because guess what? Whatever we do can always be improved upon.
That's right. And this is something I like to keep in mind. I'm always aiming for the stars, but if I land on the moon in the process, I did pretty good.
I love it. I love it. Listen, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. I hate excuses, bro.
You know what? There's no excuses. I talk to youth pastors and people who don't have resources sometimes, and I tell those guys, man, you better become a master fundraiser.
Yes.
You, there's ways that you can get the resources that you need.
You know,
I ran my first two ministries that I was a part of. I didn't have a budget.
Right, right.
And I learned how to work without a budget and learn how to be the budget and take my team and make the team work. Become the thing that made the dream work.
Yes, yes.
So bringing the team together and building energy around the team where we can go together and fundraise and do whatever we need to do. And we build this sense of camaraderie and family and the process of raising those funds.
Yes.
But there's no excuse. You know, if you need something, man, go out and aim for it and put the faith. I just want to speak to somebody now that feels like, you know what, I don't have the resources. Yes. I don't have the provision. I don't have the budget.
Yes.
Listen, all that stuff is not necessarily the thing that's going to make the ministry that you have go forward. What's going to make that ministry go forward is you having the faith and having the heart to say, you know what, I have a goal. First of all, do you have a goal?
Yes,
you have a plan? Is it in writing? Can you see something? Do your people know where you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Because if people see where you want to go, then you have the ability to other people that can connect to it and help you get to where you want to go. I've been in ministries before where I've had big givers write large checks and fund the entire ministry for the year out of one check.
So it's possible.
It's very possible.
So after you have written your goals, after you have established what you're trying to accomplish, because you need to know. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So you need to write it down. You need to make it plain. You need to be able to be comfortable in knowing this is what I want. And then you know what you may need to write on top of that list? It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
That's
because this is America, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a little accent. I'm from the islands. Come on, tell me. Hey, I was talking to one of the lead guys in my ministry, my personal ministry, and we were talking about my business plan, and we were talking about preparing to go national on some global efforts that we're personally planning on doing with RMCM. And I told him, I said, you know what? I'm going to believe God for to do the impossible. I said, you know one of the reasons why I'm going to believe God? Because not only is God able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask, imagine, or think, but I live in America.
Let me ask a question. Somebody's gonna build an amazing ministry.
Come on.
Somebody's gonna do it.
Come on.
Why not you?
Why not you?
Why not you?
I love it. I love it. Listen, somebody needs to take the city. Why not you?
Why not you?
Come on. There's a child who wants to go to a church that's never been invited. Why can't it be your church? Why can't you prepare your team for excellent ministry? Somebody wants to tour a church and see how it's being done. Why can't you set up your ministry to do it in such a way where people could want to come, show up, and say, you know what? I love the way they're doing things. The reality of it is it's possible.
It's possible. It's possible. And people are doing it.
Yes.
Let me give another piece of advice for someone who's dreaming big. I would strongly encourage people to go out and see other people who have dreamed about doing it big that are doing it.
Yes.
That their dream has come true.
Yes.
And you're able to see what they do, take notes, be able to alter it, and make it something that you can use to help you and your team and the ministry that you're involved with go to the next level. There's no way you can go to the next level if you don't expose yourself
expose
to
your
higher
critical.
Levels of people who are doing what you're doing. That's why I hang out with Ricardo Miller, y'all. That's why I hang out with him.
Brother. You're crazy. Listen, a few years ago, I remember going to a church, man. I tore a church facility, and I saw this list of volunteers. And they had over 1,000 volunteers within the children's ministry.
Wow.
And I remember the scripture came alive. The Holy Spirit brought the scripture alive to me. And the scriptures that simply says God is not a respective person.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my goodness, if God can allow this church to be blessed and highly favored like that, to have more than enough volunteers.
Come on.
Then that means we can have more than enough volunteers. So from that day, I got to a place where I believed that volunteers are willing, wanting, and ready to serve this generation. But you have to have something set up in place to ensure that they can come in, connect with what you're doing, and take it forward to new levels and new heights. But the reality of it is you have to expose yourself.
That's right.
To the point that people are doing it.
That's right.
People are doing it. And secondly, God didn't say, I'm going to bless those in Texas, and I'm not going to bless those in Canada. I'm not going to bless those in Florida. No, God is not that kind of God. That's the truth of it is, people are doing it well in Canada. People are doing it well in Florida. People are doing it well in Texas. You can do it well right where you are. God is not a respective person. I'm enjoying the show. This is Pastor Ontario Green in the studio with me, y'all. And we're talking about connecting with the next generation. Children's Ministry Today, we're talking about connecting with the next generation. Listen to this. I'll be right back.
You are listening to a commercial-free podcast with Ricardo Miller.
Hey, y'all. We are in studio today in the beautiful city of Arlington, Texas. It doesn't look so beautiful today because of the rain, but I'm telling you, the rain is an answer to prayer. There's somebody out there that's been praying for the rain. I know our ground, our grass have been saying, please water me a little bit more. And then there's a lot of water restriction here in the city. But we thank God for the rain. Even though we have the rain going on, we're going to be having Vacation Bible School going on at Pathway of Life Church tonight, along with Represent Generation Conference at the Pathway. My guest in studio with me is none other than Pastor Ontario Green. And he will be ministering at our church on tonight. So if you are anywhere in the DFW area, decide to leave home a little early so you can get to church on time. You know, the road could be a little crazy because the roads are wet, but that's okay. You know what? We make it to every other place that we really want to go to. And I believe if you really want to be in the house tonight, you can be there. So I want to see you. Let us know you are listening to the show today. Also, I want to challenge those of you that are in children's ministry, signed up and register for the Children's Ministry Symposium. It's coming. It's going to be this November right here in the beautiful city of Dallas, Texas. You don't want to miss this year's symposium. We're taking it to a whole new level. And our guest today, if you don't know, now you know that he is available to come and speak at your church. Pastor Ontario is a speaker on demand. God's using him in an amazing way. And I'm telling you, he will bless your congregation to train your leaders, train your team. Just simply come in to minister to your young adults. The main sanctuary, take him to the adults in the adult sanctuary on Sunday morning. Let him come and be a blessing to your congregation. Today, we're talking about connecting with the next generation. He will be a great guy to connect with to help you transition your church to being a church that's healthy when it comes to reaching the next generation. That's Pastor Ontario, y'all. Listen, let's get back to our questions. We are in the studio here in Arlington, Texas. Thank you guys for letting us know you're listening. We love you all. We love you. Pastor, I want to ask you a question. I'm enjoying these topics, the time we're getting to talk, but I want to go in a little bit further. I want you to help us to understand it. The way the next generation will view the church and the way they're doing things today is going to be different than that of tomorrow, right? If that's the case, what three things can the church do to support and not fight the movement of change that's coming?
Wow, that's a phenomenal question. Well, number one, we have to, at some point, embrace social media.
Yes.
Social media and embrace internet campus members.
Wow, internet campus
members. Because let me tell you, there was an article that was written in a Christian magazine that stated 20% of giving in the next 10 years will be done online.
Wow. Right.
So that means that there is a presence being developed online where people are watching online.
Yes.
You know, there are members of churches. You can have members that are in other nations
that
can watch your service online.
Yes.
And what churches are doing now is they're switching to a campus media pastors and people who are responsible for those people who are watching online.
Right.
Just think about this. I go to a restaurant and I sit down. And I sit down in a part of the restaurant that's not as busy.
Right.
And no one comes and checks on me. No one comes to take my order.
Right.
No one comes and asks me if I need anything.
Yes.
At some point, I'm going to get up and walk out of that restaurant and find one that can meet my needs.
Yes.
Now we have to embrace the thought that, listen, we're moving in a very progressive way as a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to reach the next generation, we're going to have to embrace internet campus members.
Wow.
And so that means we've got to set up intentional things where we're speaking to them.
Right.
We have someone who cuts off the service and sneaks off to a camera and say, hey, we just want to welcome you to such and such church this morning. We're so happy you're watching online. We're excited that you are part of what God is doing.
Yes.
We believe God's going to touch you right on your couch this morning.
Yes.
So sit back and get ready for the Word of God. You know, we've got to develop that type of presence where we acknowledge the fact that people are there and we embrace them so they feel in a part of it as well.
I mean,
that's one.
That's a great one, because the reality of us in studio today is an indication of change.
Come on.
You know, people all over the country, around the world, are able to listen to us in the studio today because radio is changing.
That's right.
And radio is changing. It's no longer just radio for your city or your town. It's global radio.
That's right.
And that's the power of the Fishbowl Radio Network. And so every Monday at 1 p.m., Pastor, listen, children's minister all over the country, children's ministers all over the country are able to sit in their office, tap in on the internet to this children's ministry talk radio every Monday at 1 to 3 p.m. That's a great way to connect, understand the times are changing. Go on, give us a second point.
Another thing is we've got to accept their differences.
Mm.
The generation, listen. This next generation is more different than I have ever seen a right. generation be.
Right.
We have more piercings. We have more tattoos.
Yes.
We have more more attitude
right.
switches. We have all types of things that are different from the previous generation. And at some point, we've got to stop saying, boy, when I was your age, if I had done it, boy, if I had ever come home with such an, you know, we've got to stop doing that because it goes in one ear and out the other. At some point, we've got to throw our arms around these brothers and sisters. We've got to love on these brothers and sisters who have these differences.
Yes.
That don't look like church people.
Wow, right.
Because
right.
now the church is starting to go outside of the four walls.
Yes.
I love what's happening.
Right.
There is an explosion of God's love happening,
yes.
and it's moving outside of the boundaries of religion.
Wow, yes.
And now we're moving into a vein of relationship, relational ministry, where we are embracing people where they are and allowing them to feel a part of who we are and what we're doing. And as we embrace them, they will embrace us.
Wow.
And more importantly, they will embrace the gospel that we carry.
That is so true, so true. Embracing the reality that people are different. Times are changing. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine not so long ago, and we were talking about the reality of how the family model was established, where, you know, you bought a home and you lived there for 30 years, you retired there, and you know what? All your kids and all your friends and all your family always knew that that was mama house, and it became grandmama's house because one home for an eternity.
That's
no more.
That's good.
That day, the day of that is over.
That's
they
right.
say the average American moves now every 5 years.
That's
I'm talking
good.
About change homes and all. I have two good friends of mine that are good friends of mine, and in the past 10 years they bought two different homes, moved on. You know, because the reality of it is we're not living in the times where we lived before. Oh my God, God's blessed me with a house, and you know what? Now I'm going to be able to retire right here, sit on this same porch and just rock away. No, this generation is more progressive. They want to move. They want to be doing things, and they want to be passionate about their purpose.
That's good. That's good.
So with what your suggestion then is for the thought of. I like that thought you suggested, and that was, oh, this is the way mama them did it.
Yes.
We need to get rid of that, you say.
We have to, because if we don't, we're going to really miss out on the next generation.
Mm.
And this generation asks questions.
Right.
See,
right.
we weren't allowed to ask questions.
Come on. I thought you were going to say we didn't ask questions. No, we weren't allowed to ask questions.
If we even looked like we wanted to ask a question, you know, what would happen. I can't even say what would happen on the radio.
Hey, but some folks say my child still can't ask questions. They're asking questions. They just probably ain't asking you.
They ain't asking you. And then this is the bad part. If they're not asking you and they're asking somebody else, they're getting the wrong answers.
Come on. Chances are they're getting the wrong
answers. So you want them to ask questions.
Yes.
You want to promote an atmosphere that's open so your young adults or your youth can ask questions.
Yes.
And they can get into intellectual dialogues about the gospel and church and things of that nature. Because guess who's going to answer the questions? The local universities.
Yes.
Guess who's going to answer their questions? MTV and BET.
Yes.
Guess who's going to answer their questions? The people that they're texting with and on social media. That's who's going to answer their questions. And we can't afford to drop the ball when it comes to that.
Right. I so agree. So agree. We cannot drop the ball when it comes to answering the questions that these kids have and understanding that we're different. We're not dealing with the same times that we've dealt with before. You know, I've asked one of the persons that's serving on my board, my ministry board. I say, we're into shifting my personal ministry to take it to a new level. And I say, I don't want us to be on the pulse of things. I want us to be ahead of things.
Ooh, that's good.
I don't want us to be the ministry that says, man, that ministry is current, relevant, and doing what's in the now. I want, God help me, dress something on us as an entity, an organization that says we're going ahead of the times, because we realize it's changing. And for too long, the churches have been 25, 30 years, 50 years behind the times. I was working with a church not so long ago, and I was telling the pastor that it's important to have a children's ministry, you know, and he was like, well, give me three reasons why. I'm thinking, I don't even need to talk to you if you need three reasons why. You should have been reading your Bible to figure out three reasons why.
That's good.
You know, but the reality of it is some people just are not in sync with the times.
That's
We're
good.
Losing a generation because they have not opened the Bibles up to see the full perspective of God when it comes to understanding that if the generation, if children today are going to be leaders tomorrow that have a conviction from the faith perspective, then they must be influenced now.
That's so good. We're starting a brand new series at our young adult ministry called Snapback in August 16th. If you're in Kansas City, we want to see you there at Sheffield Family Life Center. I'd love to shake your hand and meet you. Tell me you heard the radio station. Love to hear you.
Yes.
Love to see you. But we're starting a brand new series called Snapback.
Uh-huh.
And this is dealing with coming back. This is dealing with, you know, during the summer, we have a lot of people go away for vacation. And the Lord put something on my heart that was so good that I believe needs to be the heartbeat of us for our next generation. Mm-hmm. And it is this: we should not be as concerned with their snapbacks as long as we get their souls back.
Wow. Come on. Ooh, come on out there. See, this is Pastor Anterior, y'all. And listen, he's the man you need to have to your church. You need to have him come to your church, be a blessing to your congregation to help connect you with the next generation. I like that question and the statement that you just made. That helps me to go into this next question, and that is, do you see the next generation as more serious about their walk with Jesus than generations before? If yes, why and how?
Well, yes and no, and I'll start with a no.
Mm-hmm.
No, because sometimes I like to take responsibility for some of the things that are happening with a lack thereof of engaging from the next generation, because sometimes we don't do what we need to do.
Right.
And presenting what we're doing, presenting the gospel, presenting our ministries and making them look like they're something that someone would want to be a part of that's their age.
Right.
So we've been doing the same VBS series for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
It's time to renew that thing.
Yes.
We've been doing the same message and repeating it every August.
Right.
We
right.
need to do something different if it's not working anymore.
Right. That's good.
You see? So we have to make sure that we keep up with the current times and trends, and we need to stay ahead of culture and not allow culture to stay ahead of us.
Yes.
You see, we can't allow BET and MTV and all these different other things that lead our culture to lead us out.
Right.
We need to jump ahead, like you said, and be ahead of the curve and be able to lead something that's relevant, that's cool, that people would look at and see, man, that's phenomenal. Man, God is all in. The anointing is all in it, but it's relevant and it's current as well.
Hey, because when you think about it, Pastor Anterior, who are we representing?
We're representing God.
I mean, all of what's creative should be coming from Him to us to influence
stuff.
Our community.
We got the best stuff.
We got the best stuff.
You can't lose with the stuff that you use.
But tell me something. Why is it that we have young youth pastors, young children's pastors, young adult pastors who are afraid to step out of the box, bro?
Wow.
Why is that? Tell me, what do you think is the cause for some of them being so concerned with really being who God created them to be? Because when you become a youth pastor, when you become a children's pastor, when you become a younger pastor, I personally believe that the senior pastor saw a level of grace on you to connect with that particular generation. Then you get in there, and then you end up trying to be what the adult church is.
That's right.
What's wrong with that picture? How do we make sure that we challenge those guys who are listening to stay relevant and do what God's created them to be?
Well, number one, there's a fear. There's a fear of the unknown because right now I believe there's a huge shift that's happening in church culture.
Right.
And the fact that youth and young adult ministry is evolving all together as a whole.
Right.
We're no longer doing the things that we used to do, and they don't work anymore used to.
Right.
We've got to become more relational versus being religious.
Right.
And I think what happens is as we were raised, most of us have been raised in some kind of church setting.
Right.
And we've gotten used to a style of doing things.
Right.
And we get afraid to deviate from the style in which we've done in the past because we're afraid that people won't embrace it now that it's current.
Right.
So we've got to be very careful not to allow ourselves to be misled by things that have happened in the past, uh-huh. and not be and be afraid to embrace what's current, what's relevant, what's working right now. Some of us need to pick up some magazines and yes. start thumbing through them and start yes. seeing what's the latest trends in fashion. Right. Some of us need to just go in our closet and throw right. all those 1980s clothes on, away right. yeah, yeah, and go yeah, buy yeah, some yeah. Diesel right. or some whatever, you know, some clothes that are going to speak to the generation that we live in. Yeah. Because sometimes if you don't look to part, they don't want to hear what you have to
come
say.
Come on. Ooh. Pastor, I tell you, sometimes if you don't look the part, they don't want to hear what you got to say. We're talking about connecting with the next generation. Taking off your tie only is not enough anymore.
Come on. Goodness. You got to take the slacks off, too, hey, and put guy, some fatigue pants on.
One guy told me, he said, "Man, brother, I took the tie off. That ought to be enough." Hey, you know, I bless God. I believe you ought to go to church with a tie on. With some cuffling. I love dressing nice. I love wearing all my clothes. That's what they used to call it. Boy, he got on all his clothes. You know, I love that model too, but then you got to know and you have to be sensitive and you have to identify with shifting moments.
Well, do we want to recycle saints or do we want to produce new ones?
Ooh, come on.
Because if we want to recycle saints, yes. then we can continue to do things that we've done.
Yes.
If we want new people, then we've got to find new methods yes. of being able to attract new people.
Yes.
I love going into churches where I see people who have the liberty yes. to do different things. I yes. love going into churches where I see a worship leader with a hat on.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I love going into a church where I see loud colors and right. different things and right. color shoes and tennis shoes on a pastor. You know, my senior pastor does that. He'll wear some Jordans
right.
on a Sunday morning. Right. I love it.
Right. Well, let me look at this, Pastor Ontario. You know, when something's not working at Walmart, they get rid of it.
That's right.
When something's not working at American Airlines, they get rid of it.
That's right.
When something's not working at Disney, I mean, when it's not working at BET, if there's a program on Disney that's not working, guess what? It's not bringing the numbers. They get rid of it. Come on, y'all. We're going to stay connected to this generation, and we're going to do it in a relevant way. Listen to this. I'll be right back.
You are listening to a commercial-free podcast with Ricardo Miller.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Children's Ministry Today. In studio with me today has been Pastor Ontario Green, a good friend of mine. He's doing a great work with young adults. And you know, like he said early on, you know, he has kids. He's been a youth pastor. He's a young adult pastor dealing with the generations of all ages, really, now. He's able to see and sense and feel what's going on in our culture. And so it's important for us as pastors, church leaders, men and women of God that wants to see the gospel continue. I believe that we stay relevant, that we stay connecting with this generation, helping them to know that we know who they are. We know that God is going to allow them to be the ones to take this thing to a whole new level. If that's the case, then we need to prepare them for that. I want to ask Pastor Ontario another question, because, you know, as we bring our show almost to an end, I'm starting to think about how our children and teens are faced with enormous odds when it comes to standing strong in their faith and not being moved by the majority. You know, so many young people are being moved by the majority. When it comes to today's culture, matters like sexual identity and bullying, social media, how would we, Pastor Ontario, how would we suggest leaders equip young people to live their biblical belief despite the opposition in this culture?
Well, number one, I think the first thing we need to remember before we even approach the situation or try and address a situation like this is always to remember, before you were you, uh-huh. you were them.
Come on. Oh, before you were you, you were them. You heard it right here on Children's Ministry Today.
So that gives you what I like to call a grace-based mindset.
Yes.
As you approach it. My spiritual father and mentor, Pastor Chris Hill, who pastors the Potter's House of Denver, Colorado, who sits yep. under Bishop T.D. Jakes, wrote a great book called Grace-Based Youth Ministry.
Wow.
Yep. And I would definitely suggest that you go and buy that book, because understanding the approach of grace uh-huh. is so important when yep. addressing situations like these that yep. are very sensitive.
Yes.
And the fact that if this next generation does not feel your embrace, uh-huh. if they don't feel that you love them, mm. if they don't feel that you can relate to where right. they are and right. what they've been through, right. then they really don't want to hear what you have to say.
Right. Wow.
They really want to know that you care about them. Because if I care about you, it's the equivalent of me spanking my child
right.
and some stranger walking up to my child and spanking them. Yeah. There has to be a bridge of yeah. relationship yeah. and grace
yes.
built before we can address the situation.
There has to be a bridge built. You know, the reality of our everyday teenagers, even kids nowadays, are dealing with this sexual identity factor. And, you know, it's an untaught, an undiscussed subject in a lot of churches, in majority of churches. The reality of bullying. The schools are trying to address it. In certain neighborhood activity organizations are trying to address it. Should church be addressing these subjects?
Yes, very much so. This is the thing. Before we address those subjects, we need to make sure we read up and find out what we need to find out. Right. Make sure we have all the facts correct before we address it with our old-time gospel, if you would say.
Come on.
So we need to put our nose in a book and get caught up on what's going on and what's really happening, what's this stuff mean, know our statistics, know what's really happening today and not what was happening 10 years ago.
Right.
Because the methods to fix it 10 years ago don't work anymore.
Ooh, the method to fix it 10 years ago don't work anymore. I hope somebody's going to tweet that. Okay? Listen, when you think about it, Pastor Ontario, sexual identity, we can be trained. We can be equipped. There are books, there are CDs, there's podcasts, there's programs that we can and involve ourselves with when it comes to dealing with the next generation to become astute, to become informed, to be able to properly communicate to your group or to your ministry about the changing times when it comes to sexual purity. We have a ministry every year that have been very successful at Pathway of Life Church, and that is True Love Waits. True Love Waits. That is hell. And every year we've seen testimonies and parents talk about True Love Waits because, you know what? It's opening a subject matter that's commonly not open before in traditional churches to young people. But watch this. The subject of bullying. There are people who will be prepared to come into our churches.
That's good.
And to educate the congregations and teenagers and children about this subject matter and how to deal with it. And then the media. You know, a lot of guys are saying, well, I don't know a lot about the media. I just started Facebook. As a matter of fact, I just put a picture up for the first time after having the account for 3 years. Mm. You know?
Sometimes speaking in tongues is not enough.
Mm.
Sometimes we need to go and consult the professionals and put our pride aside.
Wow. Sometimes we need to consult the professionals to put our pride aside. I repeat that so you can tweet that as well. I repeated that so you can tweet that. That's really good. Pastor, there are matters like this that needs to be addressed. Just in our closing moments, just talk to the young adult pastors out there listening, children's pastors, young adult, children's pastors, youth pastors, young adult pastors. They're listening. Times are changing. We're no longer pastoring and ministering like we did 25 years ago. You are on the pulse of what God's doing in the nations of the world when it comes to reaching young people in this time. Talk to those who are disconnected and help them as you close to get connected.
Well, number one, I'll tell you the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time.
Yes.
So as you move towards the process of change, as you move towards incorporating things that is going to make you more relevant, more current on reaching the next generation, always remember what my football coach used to tell me. He used to say, change is a process, not an event.
Yes, yes.
So embrace the process of change as you move towards this next 21st century of doing ministry where we're reaching a generation who is creating a new identity for themselves.
Right.
I mean, the methods are going to change continually because the generation is continuing to change as they're evolving. So we just need to be ready to change, embrace change. Don't be afraid of change.
Right.
I know a lot of us are very afraid to go and do different things that we've never done before because we've never done them. We're not sure if they'll work. Yeah. But we need to step out on faith.
Yes.
We need to step out on that faith that we preach about, that we talk about, that we tell other people to have, and we need to have it ourselves and believe that God is going to lead us, guide us, and direct us as we lead this next generation, because there is an army of young people who's waiting on you to step up into your role as a leader so that they can run behind you and possess the land.
Yes, there is an army that wants to run behind you. Pastor, talk to that guy who's still a little stuck on, this is the way we've only done it. We've only done it this way before. This is the only way I've seen it. How important is exposure? Because I want you to plug this in the next 3 minutes. How important is that?
Exposure is extremely important. Exposure, you're not aware of your lack thereof of relevance until you expose yourself to what is relevant.
Ooh, come on.
So once you've exposed yourself to what is relevant, now you have been challenged with the thought process or the wheels begin to turn, uh-huh. that now I can start moving towards the direction of being relevant. The question is, do you want to be relevant, or are you willing to put the work in to become relevant? Because for some of us to reinvent ourselves may take too much energy. It may take too much strength. It may take too much power. And
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Yeah, right?
You know, but if that's your attitude, then maybe this youth ministry thing may not be for you anymore. Right. Maybe you need to progress to more of a an adult ministry or do something different. But if you're going to be in this youth vein culture, you're going to have to continue to evolve, continue to reinvent yourself. We were talking about Kirk Franklin earlier and how he has constantly reinvented himself. You remember he used to wear the Jerry curl back in the day when he used to sing, "This is the reason why I sing."
Yeah.
And now he doesn't do that anymore, man. He's relevant. He's current. Yeah. Every time you see his clothing and his outfits and his music.
Seamless.
And you never saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
He stayed with the current trends and the way, but he kept his message the same.
Yes.
He's continuing to push the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to do the same thing. We need to embrace the change, and we need to continue to keep our message the same.
Yes.
But do whatever it takes to reach this next generation, because they need to be reached. The question is, are you willing to do what's necessary to reach them?
Are you willing to do what is necessary to reach them? That was Pastor Antonio Green in the studio with me today. Listen, I've always believed that if the future is to be changed, the children are the agency through whom change will come. As we connect with our community, let's remember that there's a generation that wants to know Christ. There's young men and women who would love to be worshipers of Christ. Young men and women who would love to learn the biblical truths of the Word of God and apply them to their everyday lives so that they can go on and live their life based on Christ or God's original design and purpose for them. But it's important for us who have been assigned with that responsibility to do whatever is necessary to connect with them, to keep the method changing and evolving with the times, but keeping the message the same.
Yeah.
And believe me, God wants to bless what you're doing. You just have to understand it is possible. According to your faith, be it done unto you. I love you guys. Thank you for listening every week with us here on the Children's Ministry Today, the Fishbowl Network radio, every Monday at 1 p.m. If you haven't been sharing this link with your friends, please let them know that Children's Ministry Today is something that is aired every week. I'm Ricardo Miller. I'm originally from Nassau, Bahamas. I'm an island boy. I love the fact that all of my peoples in the Bahamas are always texting me, inboxing me, letting me know you guys are listening. I love the Caribbean. I love Central America. I love what God's doing in our ministry here in the United States. And in 2014, just so you know, we're taking it to new countries, places I've never been before, just so we can help strengthen children's ministers, equip parents, and let children know Jesus loves them. Let children know that Christ died for them. If you have a need to have somebody come to your church as a consultant, evangelist, or revivalist, or you just want to do something different, listen, connect with Pastor Antonio. Let him know that you would love him to come to your church. I'm going to ask him to share his contact on ways that you can connect with Pastor Antonio. Also, go to ricardomiller.com and learn more about our ministry and what we're doing to partner with churches. Pastor Antonio, before you leave the studio, could you please let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you?
Well, you can do it two ways. Number one, you can send us an email at pastorontario@gmail.com. That's Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Ontario, O-N-T-E-R-I-O, @gmail.com. Uh-huh. Or you can connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're there to inbox us on either one of those. We'd love to connect.
Your name on Facebook and Twitter is what?
Ontario Green.
So it's not one of them, LJGreen.12.
No, sir. It is Ontario Green. I'm easy to find. Not many of us out there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. This has been Children's Ministry Today. Love you guys.